Good morning. I welcome each and every one of you this morning to our worship service. And see, we've got a couple of visitors with us. Ken, glad to have you back with us again this week. And Joe and Katie, glad to have you and your family with us as we've talked about out in front here this morning. Anytime that you folks are in our area or find that you have some free time on the Lord's Day, come on over and join us. We'd love to have you anytime. But it's been a pleasure having you here, giving us an update. You know, I think of Scripture, you know, where the Apostle Paul goes around and visits the various different churches and giving reports getting reports from them. You know, anytime that we get reports, good news and reports of missionaries or missions that we contribute to and things like that and how things are going in those places, it's always great news and it's uplifting and it's encouraging to us. So it's been good to have you here and to tell us how things are going over at Ferris and throughout campus ministries for that matter. There's places we can't go and things we can't do, but we can certainly support those things in that capacity. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? All right. You know, it's also good to live in a free country, isn't it? Isn't it good to be in a country where we theoretically, by our Constitution, we're free citizens. We're free to do as we please within certain guidelines, of course. Can't break the law. There's certain laws that tell us that you can't do certain things that would infringe on the rights of others and things like that. But let me ask you this question this morning. What would you do if you were truly free? If you were absolutely free to do whatever you like to do, what would you do if you were truly, genuinely free? If you could do or act or behave as you please, how would you put that freedom to use? You know, in making your decision about those things, and I think each and every one of us have that decision to make it every day when you get out of bed, how you're gonna choose to put your day to work, what you're gonna do throughout that day. You don't call somebody up and say, "Hey, tell me what I've got to do today. What are my orders today, specifically?" You have a freedom to plan out your day. But in making your decisions, is your heart ever involved in that, in those decisions? Is there something that has to do with what's going on in here? You know, each week now, for now, this is, I think, the eighth week now in our series. We've been in a sermon series called One Another. All the One Another statements throughout the New Testament, where it talks about one another. Each week we've talked about growth and the change that Jesus' influence on the life of believers has on each one of us. It genuinely changes our lives. You know, we don't just become Christians and then go right back to doing the way we live in the way we ever did, right? Jesus tells us that we must love the Lord our God with all our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. And secondly, we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And then, in John chapter 13, verse 34, he says to us, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now, if that command of love is genuinely obeyed, do you think that that's might change the way you conduct your life, your freedoms to choose to do this or to do that. See, love for one another becomes caring for one another. It becomes encouraging one another or praying for one another or forgiving one another or comforting one another or accepting one another. Wow, you didn't know you were in for all that stuff, did you, when you became a Christian? But it's not something you have to get up and say, okay, these are the list of things I'm going to do today. I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to forgive everybody. I'm going to comfort everybody. I'm going to accept everybody. I'm going to encourage everybody. I guess I've got the list done. No, these are things that are manifestations that happen to a heart that's changed. When you met Jesus and you fell in love with Jesus, and you are a genuine born-again believer in Jesus, that heart changed. And what does he say? If you love me, what? You'll keep my commandments, right? He's not some tyrant that says, you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to do something else. No, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, all these things will tend to happen as an outpouring of the changes that took place in your heart. Manifestations. If you love one another like that, it'll show itself in service to one another. You know, on the night before Jesus' crucifixion, he's gathered together with his 12 disciples, including Judas, by the way. And after their meal, Jesus gets up from the table and he takes off his outer garment, lays it aside, he wraps a towel around his waist. He pours water in a basin and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. He goes around the table, kneels down, and washes the feet of his disciples. And then drying them off with his towel that's around his waist. Jesus, the Son of the living God, God Himself, the Messiah, gets down on His knees like some common servant and washes these filthy feet. Probably got mud and dirt and stuff between their toes and just not a pretty sight. But He doesn't care. He washes their feet. John 13, 12 through 17 gives us the nitty-gritty details here. He talks in the conversation that follows it. It says, so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now I pause right there because this is an interesting choice of words that he uses here. I don't notice anywhere where he says, I command you to wash one another's feet. Did he command anywhere in here to wash one another's feet? No, I don't see it anywhere in there. No. He just says, if I, the Lord, your Lord and your teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. If you do them. These are tendencies. These are things he's saying, this is what you ought to do. These are things that if I reside in your heart, you're going to see the importance of doing these. It's going to change the things that you do outwardly. See, Jesus demonstrates love and humility and service, putting the needs of others above our own as he encourages us to do the same thing. It's so important to recognize Jesus' emphasis, that he realizes that he is teacher and he is Lord to them and to us today. And he humbly puts that aside. Just like everything else Jesus has modeled for us, we are to do likewise. See, Jesus came to earth not just to live for 33 years and then go up on a cross and become a martyr. That was not his plan. He came to earth to show people how they should live, to tell them how to live and then model it for them. Do we really need to be told? If we're striving to be like Jesus, wouldn't it just be natural for us? Well, you might think so. Paul tells the Galatians, you're called to be free, but not free to do whatever you please. Our text this morning, we've already covered a lot of text here, but our actual text this morning I'd like us to focus on is in Galatians chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And here Paul writes to the Galatians, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. So we're free from what? Well, Paul's writing here to various churches in the Roman province of Galatia or Asia Minor. They're churches that are made up of Gentile converts to Christianity established during Paul's first and second missionary journeys. In Paul's absence, Judaizers had come in and taught them that they needed to abide by the Old Testament ceremonial practices of the law of Moses. Paul is trying to tell them that you're free of that. They come back in and put that weight right back on their shoulders all over again. Paul says throughout his letter that a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all, chapter 1, verse 7, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're teaching a gospel that is no gospel at all. It conflicts with the gospel that Paul taught. And in chapter 5, verse 13, he says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." Free from what? Maybe the answer to that would be easier if we answered, "What are we not free to do?" Kind of a double negative, isn't it? What are we not free to do? Well, if your behavior before was dictated to you by volume after volume of law books, if your freedom was dictated to you, everything you did, everything you said was as you were told, you were a robot, no freedom whatsoever. Then you were released. You're released, given complete freedom. How do you use that newfound freedom? Selfishly or for others? The freedom that we are called to came at a great cost, the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for flesh. If you want to put it into maybe a little more understandable verbiage, a chance to indulge the sinful nature, our selfishness. Don't make it into a selfish endeavor. But through love, serve one another, serve others, serve each other. So we are free from self, from fleshly desires, the sinful nature, from selfishness. We're free from that. We don't have to be selfish anymore. We can be outward Christians and love and serve others. We're free to be servants of one another. What are we free to do, or what we are free to do, is to serve one another in love, just like Jesus did in John chapter 13. He had complete freedom to choose. He was teacher and Lord. He didn't have to assume the role of servant and wash their feet. He did so out of love. He chose to do that. He subordinated himself out of love and charged them to do likewise. If we are to be Christ-like in all that we say and do, to love like Jesus, be compassionate like Jesus, encourage like Jesus, forgive like Jesus, accept others, one another like Jesus, we need to serve one another like Jesus in love. So here's the paradox. You've been set free to be servants of one another. Set free to be a servant. How do you like that? Now, the NRSV translation words it slightly different. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. Free from the law that does not give life. Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly." John 10:10. Yet our being servants must come as an outpouring of a changed heart, filled with the love of Jesus. Serving one another must be voluntary, like Jesus was. He voluntarily washed their feet. When you love someone, it affects how you treat them, how you serve them. You know, it all comes down to the golden rule, love your neighbor as yourself. So how would you want to be treated? When someone's in need and you're in a position to help them out, even though it's going to be a sacrifice on your part, ask yourself, would I appreciate someone coming alongside me and helping me out if I were in his situation? Pretty simple. It's like the old bracelets used to say, what would Jesus do? We need to ask ourselves that daily, maybe several times a day. What would Jesus do? How do we authentically love our neighbor? The world would say, show me the money. Where love is concerned, love is demonstrated through action. Show your love by serving your neighbor. Now that doesn't mean that we wait until he comes asking for our help. Loving, serving your neighbor as you would ourselves involves being attentive and outward, paying attention, being servants to one another. It's when our focus goes from outward to inward that love goes awry. Things deteriorate. You know, the exact same analogy can be seen in the church. We, the body of Christ, loving one another as we love ourselves, should be serving one another in love. Never allowing our thoughts to become inward and selfish. Paul warns in verse 15 that when such inward selfish attitudes pervade, destruction is not far to follow behind. When our thinking shifts to, what have you done for me lately? Serving ceases. And if we're no longer serving one another, we're no longer in relationship, and animosity grows rampant as no one's living up to anyone's expectations for serving them. Imagine that. Selfish ambition destroys relationships and it destroys love. On the other hand, serving one another promotes love, and love promotes serving one another. This is kind of interesting. We have these fans in here. But there's also fans that you look out across the countryside and you see great big fans out in the fields, don't you? Big giant fans, huge fans, windmill fans. Now there's two similar objects, a fan and a windmill, similar shapes, similar parts, similar ingenuity. What is it that sets those two fans apart? What is it that makes them different? A fan is a fan is a fan is a fan, right? It's their function. A fan spins to produce air. These fans we have in here, they spin to produce air, to cool us off, to circulate the air in the room. They have a purpose. While a windmill spins as a result of air blowing, like the wind. Some people are like fans in that they produce a power and energy that brings coolness and refreshment for others. It might be in the form of uplifting, edifying, encouragement, encouraging words, advice, comfort, or actions, and attention directed towards those in great need. They have the heart to move and take action, influencing the people around them, those whose lives are tapped into the love and power of God, can, and in turn, be a great blessing to others. Now, other people are much more like windmills. These people always wait to be pushed from others before taking action. They have no initiative or desire to move on their own. Such people are individuals who lack a heart to serve. They do things out of obligation, not because of an internal drive or calling. They are unplugged from the source of power. John 15:5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." You are called to be free. All of us are. We are free to be like Jesus. Let us love like Jesus, and let that love overflow us in such a way that just like Jesus, we serve one another in love. Galatians 5:13. Will you pray with me today? Blessed Father, we thank you today for being here in our midst, Lord. For your word tells us that where two or more are gathered together in your name, that you are there in their midst, Father. And we feel your presence, Lord. We love you and we praise you, and we just pray, Lord, that our songs and our praise and our prayers, Lord, and our worship is acceptable unto you, Lord. Father, this morning we just ask that your Spirit would be amongst each and every person, that they would have ears to hear, Lord. They would understand what it is that your message or that your word is telling them this morning. Convict their souls, convict their hearts, Lord. Lord, that if there's one here today that doesn't know you, Father, that this would be the day that they would repent of their sins, they'd be obedient in Christian baptism for the remission of their sins and receive the Holy Spirit, Father. Today they could go home a brand new creation in you, Lord. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. At this time, we'd ask that you would stand for our time of invitation. And turn in your hymnals to hymn number 444, I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go. We'll be singing verses 1.